Well, it's 6 minutes after 4, South African time, on this beautiful, mashallah, wet, drizzling Tuesday morning, Yom Thulatha. I think Haji Abu Yusuf loves it. He loves the rain. So that's why when it's raining, he's like over the moon, overjoy. He says, Molana, spring bean. Yeah. It's the 11th of Jumad al-Ula, 1444. I want to welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International. I want to welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. I can see already so many messages, mashallah. And the questions are coming in on 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 2-784-786-3132. Well, let's cross over. Let's go to our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad on this early Tuesday morning, Yom Thulatha, the 11th of Jumad al-Ula, 1444. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A this early Tuesday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan. To our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 11th of Jumad al-Ula, 1444. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on Surah An-Nur, chapter number 24, and verses number 12 and 13. We continue discussing Waqiatu Ifk, where the wild allegations and accusations were made against our Honorable Mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the Honorable Wife of the Master Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At this point here, to understand this verse here, we need to understand this as well. 90% of the people who made these wild allegations and accusations and circulated it were the hypocrites, and the main one was the chief amongst them, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. He's dispatched to Jahannam and the lowest layer of the hellfire, as enshrined in the noble Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The verily, the hypocrites are dispatched to the lowest layer of the hellfire. However, some Muslims also repeated this type of words, and one of them was Hassan bin Thabit. He's a Sahabi, student, companion, and the Sha'ir, the poet of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was Hamna bin Tijash, a Sahabiya, and they uttered this type of words, so they were also punished 80 lashes, remember that. So Almighty Allah is speaking about this. Lola, why not? Chapter 24, verses 12 and 13. Lola, why not you Muslims? Issami'tumuhu. When you heard this, that these are circulated and people are broadcasting it, ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. You should have been thinking positively of the believing man and the believing women. So the believing man, who Safwan radiallahu ta'ala an, and the believing women, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, among yourselves خَيْرًا, that you should say that these are all, وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكُمْ مُبِينٌ, and you should have said that this is huge propaganda and big concoctions and fabrications. That is what you should have said, not repeated this type of words and so forth, because now it seems that you are also agreeing with them and supporting them. Lawla ja'u alayhi bi arba'ati shuhada. There was not even a single witness. And for fornication, adultery, you need minimum 4 male witnesses. So why did they not produce and bring 4 male witnesses? فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ, and when they cannot produce 4 male witnesses and the witnesses, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, so those are the people by Almighty Allah جَلَّ وَلَا هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ, that they are the big liars. So remember that Almighty Allah himself exonerated Siddiqa bintu Siddiq, our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Her rank and status got elevated, and وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْحَاسِدُونَ وَالْحَاقِدُونَ, and the people who were jealous, envious, and who had some grudge and hatred, so they were the ones who were detested and cursed by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So that is how the system of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala works, and the word Siddiq is always there used for her father, because when the Master alayhi salatu salam went for the miraculous nocturnal journey, the idol worshippers and mushrikeen rejected it. Sayyidina Abu Bakr accepted it for Sammahu Siddiqa. And from that day onwards, he became known as Siddiq, the one who speaks absolutely the truth. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, her title became known Siddiqa. She spoke the truth and she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing, absolutely nothing. Safwan had the utmost respect for me, and he did not even come near me or anything of that sort. Almighty Allah exonerated her, and Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala said about her. There was a debate, you know, between a Muslim and a Christian. So the Christian said that, how can you speak so good of Hazrat Aisha, but people accused her of a crime? So the Muslim said that if you're going to use that, then people accuse Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha, Mary, also of a crime, and she gave birth to a baby boy. So there was more dalil and greater evidence. So what do you say? فَبُهِئْتَ الَّذِي kafar. The non-Muslim ran away, he was perplexed and so forth. We say both these honorable ladies, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, 100% pure innocent, and Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha, 100% pure and innocent. But people want to make mischief, and that is how they start circulating and broadcasting all these wild allegations and accusations. Even in this day and this age, people will make so much propaganda. Let us take you around the world. You see, number one story I have is this. The US lawmakers are going to investigate and probe the secret deal between the Saudi regime and Biden. How did they cook up the oil? What are they doing? All these things here. So Biden went and he called Saudi a pariah state, and he said, we're going to take MBS Murtad bin Shaitan to task. But behind the scenes, there were other things going on. So that is how, again, Murtad bin Shaitan will be humiliated, and Biden also. Number two, Russia and China cutting more and more deals and moving away from the dollar. Let us use our own currencies, and then we must de-dollarize America and their allies. So once you start using your own currency, America gets weaker. They use the dollar to bully people and then to threaten people. Then UK, Richie Rich is in big trouble. His minister said, look at this. His minister said, "Oh, nurses, you must send a message to Putin and tell him, Putin, how can you use this energy as, you know, a weapon and use that? And we are demanding increase in our wages. The nurses of Britain are demanding." And the minister is saying that, "No, this is not the time that you will get increase in wages, and you must write a letter. The nurses must write a letter to Putin." Why can't Richie Rich write a letter? Why can't the ministers write a letter? They know Putin will take their letter and put it right into the dustbin where it belongs to, and rightly so. Now look at these two haramis. If you don't know what harami means, it means a big B, you see? So the illegitimate ones. So the president of Israel, the rogue apartheid Nazi regime, and the president of UAE, MBZ. In Saudi Arabia, you got MBS, and here you got Murtad bin Zakum. Remember that Murtad bin Siddiq. So that is also another shaitan and a traitor and an enemy of Islam. And after the fall of Islam, they met in Abu Zabi, as you call Abu Dhabi. So these are the people now discussing how we are going to weaken the Palestinians, what will be our strategy, and so forth. Imagine, they gave up everything so they to placate and bootleg the Americans and the Israelis. So dihumul aduwu fahzarhum, Quran says that these are your real enemies, beware of them. Russia attacks, remember, Ukraine, and now again no power. So that is what they call the energy war. So Russia are masters in this. They know Ukraine, wherever they are, infrastructure is. So they will keep on attacking it, and they will freeze the people there. You wanted to attack us, we will show you and America and NATO and the Jutlas and whoever. Remember that Zelensky is a Jutla, is who? So that is, they wanted to make that the other Israel. Yesterday I sent out the video, an old Jutla, and he is so old, he's still laughing. He said, "In my machine gun, I had 250 bullets, and the Palestinians were there, men, women, and children, all with their hands up. And I shot the whole lot of them. I killed them." Yeah. See, that is the Jutla mentality. That is what they want to do. Murder and kill. And they murdered prophets and messengers. They tried to assassinate Jesus, peace be upon him, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. They even tried to assassinate the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are baby killers and killers of prophets and messengers. The BBC has said that they have already got information and they have already identified 75 people killed in Iran. Now listen to this, you, those people who say that Iran is very good and so forth. The official figure stands at 300, but we all know it's much more than that. This is BBC's report. You can go to BBC website, you will find it. So when they went and they checked these 75 people out and investigated, majority were those who were killed were Sunnis. I repeat, majority were killed were Sunnis by the Kuffar, non-Muslim regime of Iran. And you want to come tell me these people are good people who are cursing Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha? Therefore we say that those people who cannot make takfir of the Shias, who cannot call out the Shias non-Muslim in public, they are traitors to Islam. The Labour Party there in UK, they want to remove the House of Lords. So a lot of things going on under Richie Rich nose. India wants to bring about electrification of its trains. So India is booming in many ways, and one of it is this. The economy is performing well, and now they want to electrify all their trains. But I don't know if their policy will ever change vis-a-vis the Muslim. That is that very, very bad policy, that every institution of the Muslims is under threat because they will look for excuses. This document is not available, this is not available, and then they will try and demolish our Islamic and Muslim institutions. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grant them hidayat and guidance. If there is no guidance for the enemies of of Islam. May Almighty Allah destroy and decimate them. Today, inshallah, between 8:30 and 9, with Mawlana Zahid Khan will be Mufti Farhan Karani, and then between 11 and 12 will be the bliss of marriage, Mawlana Arafat and myself, and 1 to 2 will be the tafsir and commentary of the noble Quran. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.
I've got Edward Ustad from New Zealand. He says, I hope you haven't forgotten us here in New Zealand. So do you think that Putin is beginning to regret the Ukraine war? Edward Ustad.
My brother Edward, my brother Delta, my brothers, sisters, children there in Auckland, New Zealand, how we can forget you? We've been there to your beautiful country thrice, fought 4 million people plus 40 million sheep, one man, one vote, one man, and 10 sheep. You know, New Zealand, there's the summary of it. How can he regret when he's winning the war and he's bringing down Europe and he's bringing down Ukraine and he got the Americans, all of them cornered? Checkmate, remember that. So for him, what is there to regret? Remember, he and China are drawing closer. He and Iran are coming closer. He and India are coming closer. He and Turkey are becoming closer. And he made the statement and said, anybody who wants to cap the price of oil, we will not supply them gas and oil, and we will supply those who don't, who are with us. So he is giving them the ultimatum. So that's the sign of a victor and not of a person defeated, Edward. Your trouble is you're watching too much Western media and you are getting brainwashed, you know? So don't swallow everything of the West. The first casualty in war is the truth, my brother Edward. That much you and Delta should know. So don't swallow everything.
Somebody says, Ustad, that celebrating birthday parties is haram. But why do Muslim organizations give special discounts each year when it's their birthday? Is this form of sales a means of halal or haram income, Ustad?
Remember, people who are selling, they will look for any excuse to sell things and so forth. Don't you see Muslims now? How many of them got Christmas sale, Xmas sale, New Year sale, all the Black Friday sale they had? Why? Just to sell their things and so forth and so on. So what your point is that birthdays are self-aggrandizement and there's no place in Islam. It is a Western custom. So similarly here also, that they want to sell their merchandise and so forth. Say, now is our 10th birthday, our 20th anniversary, and our Jubilee anniversary. So all these, they will use the terms also of the non-Muslim. Instead of just saying sale or specials or something, no. We must mimic the kuffar culture and we must imitate them. You know why? And who does that? People who are insecure, that they suffer from the inferiority complex and they feel that the West is the best and white is right. Those are the people who do it, or they do so just out of ignorance, but still it is not acceptable.
I see Bobby says that Trump has decided to run again for president, AK, but he is almost 80. Why doesn't he retire and spend more time with Melanie and Beryl? Ustad, Bobby.
My Bobby, but the same question will come to Biden. Trump is outside the White House. Your incumbent Biden is already 80 years old. So why don't you tell Biden that he must resign? As it is, he's suffering from now amnesia. He mixes up. You must remember there's so many countries. He's supposed to say this country, then he says another country. And you know that all that, instead of saying Ukraine, he says Fallujah in Iraq. And like, so many gaffes like this he has made and makes a fool of himself. Where is Jackie? He asks, where is Jackie? But Jackie disappeared in thin air. So like that. So he's 80 years old. He's gone senile. Imagine if he's commander-in-chief and he tells them that you must attack some country. So what will happen then? So if you are speaking about Trump's age, then you have to speak about Biden, because Biden is older than Trump and he's already the incumbent. So we say all of them are corrupt. But if you give me, as a non-American, American citizen, as a non-voter, who is better between the two for Muslims and Islam, Trump or Biden, I'll tell you it's Trump. Remember that, because Trump shoots his mouth sometimes in the wrong direction and he gives away the secrets also. So that's why I like Trump.
I've got Denny. He says, thank you so much, AK, for allowing me to pose my question this morning. He says that, is it lawful for a Muslim doctor to charge such exorbitant fees just for a diagnosis? Because he's the only doctor in the area. Come on, AK, Ustad.
First and foremost, for us, it's a pleasure, Denny, that you are waking up so early to listen to our program, so, and lending us your ears. So we thank you for that. I'm asking you, Denny, two questions, right? When you had, not the pandemic, we call it the plandemic, we call it the scamdemic. So which doctors were charging the most? Was it not the Jewish doctors or the Christian doctors or the non-Muslim doctors? I don't say every Jewish doctor or every Christian doctor. They all were charging. Some of them were getting kickbacks from government. Some of them cut deals. Some Muslim doctors were cutting deals. We know about all these things here. So, and we named them and shamed them also and said that these are the people who are misinforming you and disinforming you. So let's say in Durban, in a certain area, there is a dermatologist, or there is, you must remember, a dysologist or the zoologist or whateverologist. You know, all these terms we don't know. And he's the only guy who's an expert in his field. So now he charges exorbitant sums. So is that correct or not? So if it is within the constitution and he's allowed to charge that, so we will say, is it permissible then? And you are asking me from an Islamic perspective, then we will say it's permissible but unethical. In Islam, we will say when Almighty Allah has blessed you with something, knowledge or wealth or whatever, then Quran teaches us, wa ahsin kama ahsanallahu ilayk, do good unto humanity as Almighty Allah has bestowed his favors upon you and Almighty Allah has blessed you. So that is a great principle of Islam. And if you want that principle, open chapter 28, Surah Qasas, verse 77. Chapter 28, verse 77. But the income of the doctor is halal and permissible. But I think you, Denny, maybe he gave you a good, invoice, and he sent you a big amount. So now you say, hey, so go look for somebody else. You will find somebody else. You must remember that man jadda wajada, in Arabic we say, is not the hadith you're saying. Whoever looks properly and strives, he'll find somebody. I find it very difficult to believe that there's only one doctor in the whole of Durban in that special field, and he's the best of the best. So go look, you'll find somebody else, and maybe you can make some deal with him, you know.
He says, lolus that. Denny, I've got Mason here. He says he wants your honest opinion and honest answer. Mason, he says, AK, tell me, who is the most charismatic? Trump, Biden, Obama, or Clinton? Ustad, Mason.
Mason, but I always give honest answers. What you think I'm doing here? You think I'm fabricating and lying? We're not politicians. We know we are accountable by Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala. As far as Obama, Clinton, Bush, or whoever go, we dead against all of them, and we say all of them are war criminals. How many thousand million people they killed, and so forth and so on. But if you're asking of charismatic and so forth, then it was Barack Obama. You know, the man is to speak, that man. His father and I'm a Muslim, you know, so did. His name is, you see, the Mason. Listen carefully what I'm saying, because I know you don't know this. My name is Abdul Qadir Hussein. And in Iraq, you had Saddam Hussein. And this guy is called Barack Obama. But he played the fast one on the Americans. His full name is Barack Hussein Obama.
SubhanAllah.
You understood? So you must know that. So they wanted him for the Democrats. He must become the first African and the first black and so forth and so on. President of America, so it gives it some credibility. So if you're speaking of charisma, when that man used to speak, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna minal bayani la sihra." When some people speak, then it's like they bewitch you. They like making jadu on you, as though as they are just putting you into a spell and to a spin, you know. So the hadith is authentic, whether it's Muslim or non-Muslim. So he was a charismatic and a real orator and so forth. But end of the day, a big criminal also. When they asked him, Obama, why were you selling or sending all the drones there to Waziristan and killing innocent people? He said, I wanted to show them that how powerful we are. Imagine this, testing things out and killing and murdering thousands of civilians and innocent people. So a whole lot of them are war criminals. But your question, I just answered it.
He says first time he's hearing about this Barack Hussein Obama.
I told you. You see, you don't read properly. You read with one eye. When you must come listen to us, when we show you with both eyes.
Ustad, Little Ilyas, he's 13 years old. He's listening to you, Ustad. He says, "Dear Mufti Sahab, who should greet first, the elderly or the youngster?" Ustad, Little Ilyas.
Little Ilyas, wazkur fil kitabi Ilyas. Isn't so Quran says? So you must remember that Ilyas, he was a Nabi, a messenger of Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala. So remember that, my brother Ilyas, you 13 years old, when you see elders, then you must greet first. In Islam, we have adab, we have respect and so forth. You see your teacher going past, you must greet first. Not wait for your teacher to greet and so forth. So always you must remember this, that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us that we must be the one to greet first, and that is a sign that we don't have pride. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that al-badi'u bis-salami bari'un min al-kibar. The person who makes salam first, remember, is free of pride. Authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Therefore, Ilyas, from a young age, you must do that. You see anybody you know is Muslim, you greet them first. Don't wait for others to greet you. And the more salam you make, awala Bukhari Sharif's hadith, awala adullukum ala shay'in idha fa'altumuhu tahababtum, then must I not show you that if you execute it and carry it out, you will bring about mutual love? What is that, ya Rasulullah, O Messenger, peace be upon you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afshu salama baynakum, give salam currency among yourself. So that is what we must do. We live in a house. The house must become a home. And the home must become Darussalam, a home of peace, serenity, and tranquility. Our husbands, you leave your home, Assalamu alaikum. You're going for Fajr Salat and you come back, Assalamu alaikum. There's nobody in the house, Assalamu alaikum. So that is our Islam. We take the message of peace and we spread it throughout the whole world.
I see Zach. He says here, AK, when are you coming to Durban? The heat is on. Can we arrange a debate between Muslims and Jews concerning the Holy War? We specifically want to discuss Palestine and its missions. Zach, Ustad.
What is there to discuss? You must remember that there's nothing to discuss. Everything is black and white. You must remember, if Russia invaded Ukraine, then the Jutlas and the Zionists invaded Palestine. And they are an occupying force. And occupation is terrorism. So all this is documented. Remember, that is against international law. And today, just to tell you another news, which I still didn't mention, the European Union is already threatening Israel. Certain deals that we were supposed to make, we will not make with you if you're going to continue with this expansion policy of yours. So you just need to ask yourself these three questions. Who is occupying whose territory? Number one. So we all know that it is Israel occupying Palestine. Number two, who is murdering and killing innocent children, and who are the people in incarcerated, imprisoned. You saw what they did to Shirin Abu Aqila. Abu Ekle, Ekle is the Western way, the proper Arabic way. She's not a Muslim, she's a Christian, but she's an Arab and she had dual citizenship and she was American as well. So Abu Aqila is the proper pronunciation. Who murdered her? You saw what the Jutlas did when her funeral and her bier and all that was being carried and coffin was being carried. So these are murderers. Go now to Israel and see how many thousand Palestinian men, women and children are in jail. Detention without trial, as we had here in South Africa. So what you want to debate? There's nothing to debate. You are the children of Hitler. And Gerald Kaufman said so in the British Parliament. He said, what is going on now in Israel is the Nazi tactics. So what more you want? You must remember that you want to debate and waste time. We say one settler, one bullet will settle the debate.
SubhanAllah. Tulani says that, but I told you, okay, they won't release, Mr. Jalous. Our government is asking for war with AWB. Watch, AK. Tulani Ustad.
He must be released. You must remember that somebody stabbed him, so now he's recuperating. And you know what they will do? They'll just release him silently, and after his release in a safe place and safe space, then they will tell the media and so forth. So remember, does the ANC and them can't do anything? Your constitution is allowing that. The constitutional court said you have to. If you're not going to respect that, then remember, I mean, you're going to just allow South Africa to slide towards, remember, that anarchy, mayhem, chaos. We're already halfway there. So remember, this is just emotive talk and emotional rhetoric, you know, saber rattling and so forth. So don't worry, Tulani. Lot of people supposed to go to jail, they sitting outside. And many people are in jail and they supposed to be outside.
There's a non-Muslim, he doesn't want to mention his name. He says that, sir, why do Jehovah's Witnesses beliefs and practices contradict the Bible? Ustad.
So remember that you must ask them. But I will give you my personal experience with the Jehovah's Witness. It was a Sunday and I was in Newcastle and this male and female came to my house. I didn't call them, I didn't invite them. That I didn't have a bell there also, because they also used to steal the bells. Like how they steal the bell here. So anyway, leave that story out. So they tapped the door. I said, it was Sunday morning. I said, yes, sir, madam, what can I do for you? So they said, we come from the Jehovah's Witnesses and we want to speak about justice and about peace. And I said, come, welcome, sit here in my lounge. So they said. So I said, before you start your story, I want to ask you three questions. You, male and female, are you all married? They said, no. So I asked them, you mean you are not married and you're going everywhere and you're going to speak about justice and peace? Is that right for you, according to the Bible, that one male, one female, who are basically strangers to one another, you want to go and sum the Bible and so forth to the people, but you yourself are not married? So they just looked down. I said, two, just wait. I went to my, you know, safe or whatever, archives, and I brought that cutting. I still have it, where the Sunday Tribune carried the article, and I asked them that, you know this article? Where Ahmed Didat, Sheikh Ahmed Didat, Rahimahullah, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus, that under apartheid, what he did, that he cut, remove all the numbers of Ezekiel and the two adulterous sisters. The chapter is Ezekiel, and the subchapter is two adulterous sisters. He removed all the numbers, he sent it to the census board. The census board had two predicants, two dominees, two priests, and said, please tell me what is this. So the census board said, this is pornography. He took that and he went to the Sunday Tribune and he posed the question, is the Bible peddling, promoting pornography? That is happened, documented it is. So I showed them, I told them, now you read this. They said, no, we'll come back. I said, you never come here again till you got answers, and you are now busy spreading more corruption. You're not married and you want to come tell me about justice and peace, and you're running around here. and you can't read from your own Bible, you feel ashamed. And every Christian should read that. You know, Ahmed did that in the style. Very few people in the world had that. Mr. Swegart, read from the Bible, and I will give you $50, $100. The way Swegart read that, like a Ferrari. You know, quick, you are so ashamed. So remember that the South African Census Board, under the apartheid regime of South Africa, they classified that passage of the Bible as pornography. So that is what the Jehovah's Witness want to do. They want to go and give the message. But the message you are sending and conveying and propagating is a message of corruption, that Jacob is having a wrestling match with God, and Lot committed, these are all kufr, blasphemy of the highest order. Lot committing incest, you must remember, with his own daughter and so forth. Another incident, if you know Newcastle, so we built a musalla, you know, in the African township of Zizweni. So when I went there with my brothers and so forth, so these Jehovah's Witnesses guys were there. So our guys were very upset. I said, leave them. Let them finish, then we will talk. Dance all the proper dance, you see. So then we will corner them. So then they carried on and they said, okay. I said, oh, you are Jehovah's Witnesses, you came here, very good. Now I got the question. They said, yeah, go. So I asked them, give me a Bible. So I said, now open Genesis and open the story of Noah. Or they open the story of Lot and see what he's saying. You understood? So the one chap read all the passage, all the verses there. One youngster, 10 years old, 9 years old, he said, Haziko, this can't be Bible. Even a child can understand this, that this is what? How can the word of God be promoting incest? How can the word of God be promoting a wrestling match with God, Jacob wrestling with God? How can we be promoting two adulterous sisters that no human being will want to read to his daughter or to his daughter-in-law? So therefore, we say that today's Bible is definitely not the word of God. And you have so many different versions of the Bible that even the virgins are confused and ashamed to read it.
Just two more questions, Ustad. Somebody says here, Mufti Sahib, was Saddam Hussein a good or bad person? What's the right story about him, Ustad?
Saddam Hussein, remember, was a Sunni, and he was dead against the Shias. When he passed away Shaheed as a martyr. We call him President Saddam Hussein, Rahimahullah. Allah grant him Jannah. Yes, he committed many, many crimes, but who is not guilty? We all are guilty of crimes and sins and so forth. So we make dua for him. There are two presidents. Both were killed. Remember this. They both were 100% Sunni. One was the president of Egypt, President Hafiz Muhammad Mursi, Rahimahullah, and one is Saddam Hussein. He sorted all the Shias out, and he passed away with a kalima, La ilaha illallah, and then they executed him, and remember, but Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen. That's I've got Jaden, he says that, I listened to your show, but I totally don't agree with your answers. I would never ever want you to become our president of South Africa at all. God have mercy on you. Jaden, Ustad.
You see, Jaden, me, if you give me $1 million a day, then also I will never become president. We don't have aspirations for this. Why you don't like it, but you still listen to it? Because show me one answer we gave is not the truth. And the truth is always bitter. You see, your mind and your heart and everything is groomed to listen to the Western media. And the Western media is giving you a lot of, you must remember, brainwashing, propaganda. So you thinking just like them. And when I tell you, you say, this guy, you say, how can this be the truth? So that is the problem. Like the brother now, before answering also, I told him, you don't know this. And he confessed.
Yes.
Do you know Barack Hussein was a Muslim? Do you know his father was a Muslim? So his full name is Barack Hussein Obama. But he could not tell that to the people. So Barack Obama. So we will tell you the true story. We will tell you the candid story, not the candid story. Give you candy and sweets and make you a fool. And then they start, you understand me. You know that what is democracy? Masses are asses. So that's how they treat you, brother. But me, I'll catch them out. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.